This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. Last week at the Rose Oconee Museum's research area, I noticed the very detailed history written by Marcella Eklund Woidke about her mother, Emily Erickson's family. Emily's mother, Matilda, was the second wife of her father, Arne Nelson. His first wife, mother of his son, Campbell, had died from typhoid fever just a few months after the birth of her son. While Arne made a living, little Campbell stayed with Arne's mother and Arne's niece, Nilla, for the first few years of his life. When Nilla got married, Campbell went with her until Arne married Matilda, a half-sister of Nilla. Both Arne and Matilda had claimed homestead property in Moose Township, north of Badger, in Minnesota. The small house Arne had on his land contained no furniture, so they were unable to live in the house, so they stayed with a neighbor, Joe Fisk, on the Arne Bolme place. The following spring, on May 28, 1901, Arne and Matilda were married in Roseau by Justice of the Peace Mike Holm. The trip to Roseau was with horse and wagon over about 15 miles of rough, ungraveled roads through heavy brush and trees. After the ceremony, which no doubt was short and sweet, the couple probably shopped for some very necessary items and headed for home. Right after they married, Arne decided it may be wiser to build a house on Matilda's claim, as she had 160 acres compared to his 80 acres. So they proceeded to construct a little tar paper shack, as Emily described it to her daughter Marcella. I'll read from Marcella's story now. Matilda was now pregnant, but relying on her stubborn and determined Norwegian nature, she gave Arne all the assistance she could, while reserving time to knit and sew clothes for their first baby. They worked very hard that summer of 1901, building a house, planting potatoes, cutting trees, and sawing wood to tide them through the long northern Minnesota winter, and putting up hay enough to last the winter for the livestock. With the money she had saved from her earlier work at the Peelin Halfway House, Matilda purchased a cow, and Arne bought two horses and a wagon from his savings. Their progress was beginning to show. A piece of land to call their own, a house to live in, a cow for milk, two horses for transportation and work around the farm, a garden, and best of all, they had each other, and they looked to the future with such optimism and hope. Upon completion of the house, Arne sent for his son Campbell from North Dakota, who came to live with them from then on. Arne once again had a family of his own, and together they made a home. It mattered not that their lifestyle was meager, it only mattered that they were happy and their dreams were beginning to come true. Arne was 32 years old before he was finally able to settle down in a place of his own and raise a family. He had come a long way since he left the Husmannsplass in Norway with his mother in 1883. He was ready and anxious to prove himself capable of survival under the extreme circumstances of the early pioneers. Arne was a quiet, good-natured man. He was about 5 feet 10 inches tall and quite small of stature. In his younger days, he had dark hair, but it turned white at a very early age. My mother does not remember him as ever having dark hair. In the winter, he grew a long white beard, and when summer came again, he shaved it off and let it start all over again, so it would be long and thick by winter. Due to an arthritic ailment that began in the early 1920s, he had one leg shorter than the other, and this caused him to walk with a limp, and it was also increasingly difficult for him to walk, making it necessary for him to resort to the use of a cane. He didn't have much education, just enough to learn how to read and write. He was confirmed in Brandvoll, Norway, and this church still stands as it did then. He generally was an easygoing man, but when he became angry, he was very angry. He was an out-of-doors man and worked hard all of his life. He loved the woods and the land, and he enjoyed the animals, both the wild and tame. Truly a man cut out for the environment he had chosen to live in. In some ways, he was like his mother Ellie, in that he could predict things yet to come. He would translate his own dreams, and he was usually right. Just before someone died, he claimed having a dream and seeing a vision. On one occasion, he dreamt he saw a black field and a black bear. This to him meant there would be a death soon, and there was. Another time he saw his sister's face in the window on the night before she died. Still another time he dreamt his flax was burning. He got up the next morning and went to the bin to check the flax, and sure enough it was burning. Marcella ends that chapter with this statement. So much for Grandfather Arnie. Let's get back to their life as some of Rose Oconee's first pioneers. We'll continue with this story next week. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our Coney stories.